is tomorrow being immortalised in bronze with a statue outside the Victor Richardson gates. His name is Malcolm Blight.
Now Blight would have to kick this. Oh, he'd have to kick it 85, 90 metres. But he's going to have a kick, all right. It's not over yet. Not over yet. What drama here at Prince's Park. Malcolm Blight, it's a big kick. It's a mammoth kick.
Don't you love it?
Oh, I do. Hello, yeah. Malcolm. How are you?
Boys, how are you, Mark? And Rolly? Yeah, look, I've never heard that.
Yeah, I'm sure you haven't. He said 85 or 90 metres. You told me he gypped you 20 metres.
Yeah, 85 or 90. It's 95 now. 95.
Well, it went through post height, Blighty.
Yeah, it did, yeah.
Congratulations, first and foremost. When did you get the call, and what were your first feelings when you heard they were going to immortalise you in bronze?
Yeah, Basil Sellers rang, Mark, and I must say, my jaw dropped a bit. I didn't know what to think. It was a left field phone call, one of those nice left field, but I still haven't come to terms with it. I'm not, most of the people I know, you know, sort of no longer with us, live in statues.
Well, on behalf of all South Australians, I want to say thank you to Basil Sellers. Like, he pays for this himself. He made the phone call. It was his call. Who gets immortalised with it? So with all your achievements and memories, Blighty, to be immortalised in a 12-foot bronze statue, it must sit way up there.
Yeah, I've just left the statue now, actually. I did some photos with the advertiser just with a boot, so I don't know what it looks like yet, so I haven't seen it. I'm sure tomorrow, you know, with the whole family and friends and, you know, grandkids and people from all over the country are sort of coming, and I think it might hit me then.
Well, we're just trying to think what it would be. Would it be that super boot kicking pose of you kicking a goal? Would it be your high marking? Would it be a clipboard? I mean, you'd have an idea, Blighty, what it is, wouldn't you?
I'm guessing it's not a clipboard, Roy.
I think it might be a kicking action, which apparently I was okay at, so that's nice.
You're being very modest.
Well, can I just say, what jumper would you be wearing then, do you think?
No, I've got no idea. It's fascinating.
Hey, want to go back and just, I guess, run through, where it all started for you. We know down at Woodville. Tell us about your junior career first and foremost.
Mark, I played at primary school, Findon Primary in those days, and then moved on to the Kilkenny Cats, one of the great clubs at Woodville South now called.
Yeah.
And then obviously through the junior grades at Woodville. So, and played my first league game in 68, which was the fourth year of Woodville's introduction into the competition with Central Districts.
Well, you 6 years at Woodville, was it?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And then how did you end up at North Melbourne? Who was the person who lured you across the border?
Yeah, a guy called Ron Joseph was the general manager of North Melbourne. And the year before, in 72, there was a carnival. You might not remember this, mate. You're even that young. The world would stop for 4 years. You know, the football world, and all the states would go to a state and play state games against each other. So they were called the AFC Champions, Australian Football Carnival Championships. So that year it was in Perth, and I went across and ended up as an All-Australian out of that. And so a few clubs spoke to me over there, one of which was North Melbourne. And at that time, I was coached by Noel Teasdale, who subsequently became a Brownlow medalist retrospectively after he retired. And he was a North Melbourne player. So, you know, when North came, I sort of had a bit of an inkling that interested me.
How tough was it to leave SA for Victoria back in the day, Blighty?
Yeah, no, mate, it was, seriously, it was like going to Europe now, you know?
Yeah.
It was just not done. You know, West End and Southwark, you sold on one side of the border, and Carlton, beer you sold on the other side of the border. I mean, it was like a wall. You just didn't go there.
Yeah. So you'd have sympathy for players that want to move in a state because you've lived that, Blighty. You had to do it as a young lad.
Yeah. I suppose the interesting thing was that there was nothing wrong with the SNFL, and a lot of the players at the let's call it the winning clubs didn't move at all. They didn't have to. You know, I was at Woodville, and I don't know, I just got itchy feet. I can never give, I don't think I've ever given a real reason what attracted me, but I guess after playing some state footy, you know, against Victoria, you thought, oh, Jim, I wouldn't mind giving it a try against the, you know, supposed best. So, anyhow.
And the rest is history, isn't it? Two flags with the Kangaroos, 78 Brownlow. Was that your best season?
It was probably the only one. I missed one game.
Okay.
There wasn't a lot of seasons. I had a lot of illness to start with, glandular fever and, you know, a few injuries. So it was one of the full seasons I managed to put together.
You're very, when I say lucky, you were lucky to be around at the time at North Melbourne when they experienced the first, and that was, of course, their first premiership. Do you want to describe what that meant to so many people? You once told me how that was one of your cherished memories.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you're quite right. I mean, life's about timing. I was lucky. When I signed with North Melbourne, Mark, they'd only won one game for the season.
Mm.
One game. So, I mean, people said I was mad, and I probably was. But I figured if I ever went, I might get a game.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, if you go to the bottom club. But actually, what happened was they recruited some older players, got a coach called Ron Barassi. But they finished outside the finals in 1973. And then a guy called Barry Cable and myself came in 74. And Barry Cable, for those that know, says to this day that the only reason why they're any good and played in grand finals for the next 6 years was because Blighty and I came.
He's a modest fellow.
I went right along with it. Don't worry about that.
Blighty, I've read your record, and it is just mind-boggling to see it. And Cornsey has this saying, just read the record. And there's a few things that stand out. And one of them, other than the Brownlows, the McGarrys and the flags and that games played, you captain SA in Victoria. I mean, no one's ever done that. I mean, that is unreal in itself when you look at that.
Yeah, it probably was unusual. In fact, that caused a fair bit of furor because I came back and captained Victoria in South Australia. And I remember Ron Barassi, who was our coach at the time, pulled me aside. No, he got in front of all the players. I'm playing for North Melbourne. Went back there after we'd won by about 10. You know, got a couple of kicks. And he said, well, this is downright rubbish. In front of all my teammates, my coach is telling me, this is rubbish. South Australians can't captain Victoria. Who made that decision? This should never happen again. How about that?
Well,
gave me a serve.
When
you, captain.
When you put that big V jumper on, did you get a rash? I remember that vividly. Our South Australian, our very own Malcolm Blight, pulling on the big V. You could have said no, Blighty.
No, I actually did it 7 times for Victoria and 7 times for South Australia. In fact, both my records, you know, I played for 9 years in both. So it's a pretty balanced lot, actually.
What about Ron Barassi? Obviously, he was an enigma as a coach. We all have seen and know how he went about his business. How much of an influence did he have on your coaching style and you as a person?
I think initially, you know, the last coach is probably one you start with. And I must say, I was a touch on the mad side early. And some would say got madder, but I think settled down a bit after that. It was a way you saw successful. I talked to Robert Walls about this when he coached, and he was pretty tough too, and that was what was handed to you.
Mm.
That's what you saw work, and you started down that track. And I think, you know, coaching North Melbourne as the last playing coach ever in the competition, and then at Woodville, I was pretty harsh early, but I think I got better as I got older.
Mm. Were you always destined, you think, to coach when you played, and when did that little light flicker in your head?
No, I think if you ask most people, I was a bit laissez-faire when I started.
Can you say that word again?
Laissez-faire.
So do you want
I think it means a bit loose and fancy, mate, or something like that.
Loose and fancy.
As a player. So, no, it wasn't actually. It wasn't something. It grew on me. It just grew on me.
Mm. How did the becoming a playing coach, how did that come about? Because, like you say, it hasn't happened since, and it's a bit of a rarity.
It was... I followed Ron Barassi, you know, as coach, and last one to do it, as I've mentioned, but it just became too hard, Mark. I remember one day I kicked 4 goals, 8. I played everywhere for the season trying to fill gaps. We had a lot of injuries, but anyhow, we lost 6 games by less than 14 points. How's that?
Yeah, not good.
No, you know where that ends up. It always ends up sad.
But then you got to the Mighty Crows and your nickname became the Messiah, 97-98. Boy, oh boy, you'd probably still pinch yourself with that. I know Bix does most days.
Yeah, look, it's... and rightly so. I mean, is it luck? Is it timing? It's all of the above. But in the end, it's a group of pretty good players.
Mm.
You know, I mean, regardless of what you think, I mean, eight players are 80% of the game. all the rest of us try and help, just help them around it. So, you know, to have, to discover, I think, you know, with the older blokes going and discovering, you know, a Tyson Edwards and a Simon Goodwin and a, you know, I could go on, Andrew McLeod developing, Mark Ricciuto becoming something special, Darren Jarman playing his best footy. You know, I mean, the list goes on. Ben Hart just finding his feet as a great defender. You know, the skipper who made no excuses. You know, Mark was a fantastic captain because he did what he did and made no excuses. It was a really no-excuse footy club. So it was, putting all those pieces together and finally, you know, having the greatest month in football in September that any team has ever been through.
Mm. Just when you got there, what were your true expectations? Clearly we finished 12th and we underperformed. Were you thinking finals first and foremost? Or do you think, look, I love this list and it could really go up quickly?
Yeah, no, I think if you remember the first talk, Mark, I thought that always, that if you're not trying to look for September, I don't know what you're doing. You know, so, I thought the pass mark would have been playing finals. You know, we only got there with 13 wins, but that's all you need to do. You just got to qualify somehow. So 13 wins, I thought, was about right. And then, you know, a great September, as I mentioned. But, I would have thought, I haven't started a season yet, and I've been around too long, really, that you would, if you haven't got finals, I don't know, as I said, I give it up. Don't do it.
Nothing beats playing, we know that. You were blessed that you did the coaching. Now you're in the admin. How are you enjoying that, Blighty?
Look, it's been interesting being involved with a new club. Look, we've had a terrible year injury-wise. I mean, I can't believe any team could miss their six best midfielders for most of the year, and four of them with knees. I mean, it's just disastrous. Mm. So no matter what you're doing, you're always stop-gapping. But out of it, there's going to be some young players that have developed, and the Suns have found some players. But is it as good as playing? No. Is it as good as coaching? No. Of course not.
Yeah.
It never is.
We love your footy intel, and you're taking it. The modern game right now, do you like it, and what would you change?
Yeah, because you're involved very much day to day and you see the strategies of the coaches and the other teams and you're very much part of that, I tend not to bag it. What I find is that I watched a tape just recently of a game from maybe 15, 20 years ago. I forget what it was now. I was just watching a game. Might have been one of those Fox repeats, you know. Mm. And what actually happened was the umpire paid a free kick. So the game kept flowing. It just seems to me that our insatiable appetite to tackle, and probably 9 times out of 10 incorrectly, in those days, if you didn't actually do the perfect tackle, it was a free kick. Mm. And I just think somewhere along the line, we've whinged about too many free kicks, but if you actually umpired it just a bit stricter, I think that, you know, those 36 players in a quarter of the ground would be less and less and less. I would love the umpiring department. This is not criticism, by the way. This is just you've asked me a question. Is that I would actually, and this sounds funny, go back to adjudicating the rules.
Mm. That's just common sense.
Revolutionary.
How good's that?
Hey, Boddy, are you going to get a chance to catch up with a few people when you get back in town?
Oh, yes, mate.
Good.
we'll be doing that. Yeah, we've got a real family thing happening, Mark. So, so it's great.
Mm. Crows are in the hunt for a new coach. You got any suggestions for us, Blighty? Help us out over here.
Yeah, look, I've been fascinated with Scott, you know, good West Torrens boy. And it's always hard. I mean, you know, the people at the Crows now, the insiders, would see how he's operating. But, you know, when guys talk and do interviews and all that sort of stuff, I always listen to the coaches. I always watch the coaches. I think he's been fairly impressive, actually. Mm. Have you got the same feeling?
I think he's got a calmness about him, and having worked with him for a while, I know what his strengths are, and certainly the way he sees the game, he's very, very good at that as well. So you're right, the way he's portrayed himself and that calmness, I think, has been really impressive.
Yeah, and as I said, heaven forbid, I know the club will do due diligence, I'm sure. Rob Chapman and the whole board will go through the process, and they'll do it very thorough and hopefully come up with the right answer. And, I've just been impressed with Scott, that was all.
What about further a bit down Port Road? Ken Hinckley, who's had some coaching experience and done pretty well, you'd suspect, over his short tenure at Port Adelaide. As a player, did you see him rising through the coaching ranks?
No, not at all. Amazing. I coached him in his, for 6 years, really, and grand finals and best and fairest and all Australians, and should have won a Brownlow, too. Someone visited him one day after half-time and knocked him out, which didn't help things. So he lost the Brownlow medal. But,
wow.
I didn't think when he was as a player, once he left playing and started coaching in the local leagues, this rate's enormous. So much so, my trip to St Kilda for those 3 minutes, I took him with me.
Mm.
His football knowledge impressed me, and in fact got him up to the Suns to try and help, a group of young players out. So his success doesn't surprise me. The interesting now for Ken is a lot of clubs that have that spike have a little flat patch, for all sorts of reasons. Mm. And I think now, where he becomes a great coach, and this is my opinion, is to resurrect Port Adelaide again next year. Yeah. They've had the hiccup. Let's learn from it and let's go again. Let's rejig and go from it. So, and that's when you find that the Alistair Clarksons and the Mark Thompsons you did with Hawthorn and with Geelong. That's when you really gut it out.
Yeah, well said, Blighty. One last one. We've got a listener question here on 1-999-1395. Is there just one club you call home?
It's I've been asked that. It's quite strange. I mean, football obviously was Woodville, and in Melbourne was North Melbourne. I mean, they're the teams you played for. Coaching's a whole different sphere. You rarely get a chance to coach the club you played at. Ironically, I coached both mine, one not for very long and one not too badly. So that's most unusual. See, Lee Matthews has been one of the great coaches in the last 20 years. There's a fanciful thing he'll coach Hawthorn. Well, he'll never get to do it.
Mm.
So who do you follow? I guess I've been a footy nut, and sometimes, the time that I had at the Crows was just, outlandish, really. The time at Geelong with three grand finals and a premier final was enormous. But I think they're just like children,
Good answer.
You just don't favour any one of them. But deep down, the most... And I'll say this to the day I'm gone. The most excited I've ever been about anything in football was the day I got selected for Woodville in my first ever league game.
Well said.
Still the most exciting thing.
Yep.
Which, because that was your dream growing up as a kid. So, and people think I'm a bit mad with that, but that genuinely is still the biggest excitement I've ever had in my life.
Right, there you go, Malcolm. Thanks so much for having a chat. Looking forward to going there tomorrow, Blighty, and being a part of the crowd when you unveil that magnificent bronze statue. So looking forward to having a chat there as well.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Ollie.
Fantastic, Blighty. Well, let's hope that then it's in a Woodville jumper.
Hmm.
After hearing that, it has to be a Woodville jumper, don't you think?
Yeah, well...
Nothing excited him more than that first game for the Peckers.
It's at the Adelaide Oval,
it has to be a Woodville jumper.
Yeah, you're right. You make sense, Roy. I like the way you're thinking.
And we just want to thank again Basil Sellers, obviously Malcolm Blight. He is the Messiah. Every time you speak to him and I see you, Bix, I see you glow, and I love looking at that. So what on to Basil Sellers. Now, the unveiling's outside the Vic Richardson gates at 11 a.m. Friday morning. You will be there, Bix. It's open to the public.
Exactly.
Let's get in there. Malcolm Blight, he is the Messiah.